little bit on seniority.
Pace and the evening people will kind of drag their butt out of bed if they're forced to, and they'll keep on going. And then as soon as you get to kind of dinner time, that's when they turn it on.
Okay, so here let's kind of break this down. What kind of constitutes a morning or an evening person?
Well, there's questionnaires out there to figure out which sort of side of the spectrum you lie on. So usually a morning person would be that typical person who, you know, will wake up without an alarm clock always at, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 a.m. in the morning. They'll feel their best in the morning. They'll be able to, you know, go for a morning workout. They'll feel great. They'll be, you know, ready to go, be able to do any sort of task. They'll prefer to do work in the morning. The evening people, such as myself, will tend to, if left to their own devices, will go to bed at about 4:30 in the morning and do the majority of their work sort of at, you know, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., maybe midnight, maybe even later.
So what does this say for somebody like me who gets up at about 5:45 but doesn't feel like he's awake until about 11?
You may very well be an evening person that's been forced into a regimen of morning people.
Well, how do I change that then?
Well, that's the thing. Some people, this is actually one of the next questions. It's very difficult to know how easy is it to change this. And this would be the next step if we're going to take this further to say, can we do this? Can we take people such as yourself, who sounds like you might be an evening person, forced to be a morning person? Can we actually impose this for a long enough period of time so that we can turn you into a morning person?
If I have to sit around and wait for another study.
you might. it's going to be pretty hard to do because we need several groups, and we, you know, to try and take people and change them into morning people from evening. It's going to be pretty hard to do, but it would definitely be an interesting next step.
So you were mentioning that morning people kind of get up and go about their business at a slower kind of pace. So what kind of things did you make people do in this study?
In this case, what we did was we looked at pretty much as one performance task, which is we looked at the strength in the lower body. So we looked at how strong, in this case, the right leg was. And we measured that 4 times during the day, but we also measured things like the excitability of the brain, the excitability of the spinal cord, and of the muscle itself. So we used a whole bunch of techy neuroscience gadgets like transcranial magnetic stimulation and electromyography to try and sort of probe the system at all these different levels to see what changes are there in these two groups, and what changes can we actually relate to these differences in strength that we saw in our performance measures.
So what is an excitable brain? Is that just kind of one that's working on overdrive, or?
That's one that, if you say that excitability goes up, that's kind of like saying for a given input, you get more output. So it's like saying, you know, it's easier for you to get a response by just having a smaller input. So it's like saying the neurons in your brain will fire more, they'll fire easier than at other points during the day.
Okay, I think I understood that one.
Now, so it's easier to get the brain going, to get the central nervous system firing, to get that big muscular contraction in the evening for the evening people. But they have a much harder time getting their central nervous system to really fire. Because in the end, the muscles only do what the central nervous system tells them to.
So is this kind of the structure of the brain, or is this something that would be kind of developed through early ages or something like that?
I have to say, we didn't test structural differences. We just tested sort of the excitability. So there's a bit of a difference in there that we couldn't actually go in and test to see are there structures that were changing. But if I had to make a guess on this, I'd say that there are likely structural differences within the brain that make these differences possible. But we didn't test for those specifically.
Okay. Now I see in here a couple of the reports I've got. You didn't let them drink coffee.
No.
So you kept them off of pretty much any drug then?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want any of that. That definitely has an impact on your on the excitability of a whole bunch of things, not just the brain, but also spinal cord and muscle. So coffee is something which we all know everyone loves to have in the morning and makes you wake up, and there's a good reason for it. It affects a whole bunch of systems.
Were there any other kind of restraints that were put on the people?
We had to make sure that they had the same amount of sleep the night before, so we had to get everything sleeping schedule before we tested them, and we had to make them get up at the same time of day.
How the heck do you do that?
Well, in this case, it was pretty much self-reported, so we told everybody to follow a certain sleeping schedule, and then we asked them, and we hoped that they were honest, and told us when they actually did get up and when they did go to bed.
So where do you guys go from here now that you've got these results in front of you?
Well, the next step that would be the most interesting would be to see if we can take people and switch them. Like we talked about a few minutes ago, I think that would be the most interesting because it has implications for not only people like shift workers who work all sorts of strange hours and bounce between morning and evening, but also athletes who let's say travel to an international event and they're crossing 9 time zones, and they may be competing at a very different time than what they're used to.
So what you're telling me here, Ule, is you're trying to come up with a new kind of performance.
That'd be nice if you can find something, some sort of drug that can magically put you back into your right sort of time zone or your switch your chronotype. That would be ideal.
I can't imagine the Olympic Association would like that, though.
No, it's probably have far time off. It'd be very, or next to impossible to do. But definitely finding some of the smaller answers to how we can tweak the system and how important it is, or how many hours can you be off while still having the best performance and things like that. Those are interesting questions.
This is a very interesting study. Thanks for your time today, Ule.
No problem. Thanks for
having me. A great day. Ule Lagerqvist, he's a PhD student at the University of Alberta. He's the mastermind behind a study that shows that the way the brain works is actually why you're getting up early or staying up late. It's not because you're lazy or not because you're a go-getter. It's actually like stuff going on inside that cranium of yours. That's pretty weird stuff. Are you an early riser? Are you one of those night owls? Let's talk about it. Let's just throw that out there. 905-645-3221 or star 9900. Did you always know there was something wrong with your buddy? His brain wasn't working right? I know a couple like that.
Don't hesitate. The phone lines are yours. 905-645-3221 or star 9900. The Matt Holmes Show on AM 900 CHML.